good morning and welcome, to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff all coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the show, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Greg, we have a stacked show today.
Oh my gosh, it's a great show.
It really is. Todd Alba is going to be here at 10:33. We're going to talk about Vice President Kamala Harris stopping in Wisconsin yesterday. Also, a couple of other things that are going on politically that I find of great interest. In the 11 o'clock hour, very, very special hour. And
yes.
I really hope you can stick around for it. If you can't, you can always listen to it as a podcast. But Colleen McCarthy from Versity was here 2 months ago.
About a month. Yeah, a little over a month ago.
And we were talking about the importance of organ donation.
Correct.
And the incredible need for donors. Mm-hmm. And in order to, I guess, try and bring that home a little bit, Colleen's going to be joining us at 11:06 along with two special guests. One is the mother of an organ donor.
Yes.
And the other is a recipient.
Correct.
And so if you have thought about becoming an organ donor, you're not sure about it, you have questions about it, this is going to be a really important show, I think.
Yeah. And feel free, you know, last time Colleen was on here, you know, we'll have a guest on for one segment. If the conversation, we feel like there's more to get out of it, we'll go on to a second segment. Colleen was here for three segments because we had questions, mm-hmm. you had questions. So please call or text right now, text those questions in 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can do that by using the Civic Media app, or you can email those questions to us at janesays@civicmedia.us. We'll try to get to all of them, but we got a lot of questions.
We
on
did.
Them. And there's because one, there's a lot of interest, I think, but there's a lot of stigma. There's a lot of myth. There's the unknown. I mean, even down to blood donation. I mean,
sure.
And that's pretty simple. You go donate blood, you're there for an hour and you get some beef jerky sticks and a soda and you're good. But organ donation is a bigger thing. So please ask those questions. Don't be afraid. Colleen is
wonderful.
Wonderful. And we'll answer them with gusto.
Yep, absolutely. That is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to start off just with a very quick trip down memory lane. Greg Bach, this came across my feed as we were prepping for the show this morning. Calvin, play that little clip from the former president 4 years ago today. It involves bleach.
While we're waiting here, how are you doing, Jane?
So, supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do, either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that, too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in one minute. Oh. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with, but it sounds interesting to me.
Well,
so we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful.
Medical doctors, that guess that when you're dealing with a global pandemic, yes, it's good to, I don't know, talk to the medical doctors.
I'm glad he made that specification. I was going to call my sister-in-law who has a PhD in statistical analysis, but thank you. And you know what's interesting about the tone of his voice? That's him at his most, like, professorial. Like, he thinks he's speaking with a great deal of, like,
gravitas.
And not just, like, bragging. This isn't braggadocio. This is, like, I'm here to talk to you about the light that we can shine on the body or some other way. The only other way it's happening is you're swallowing a flashlight, Donald.
And what's important, I think, is if you can find the video, and we'll try and put a clip into the show notes. It is very important to watch the video so you can see Dr. Deborah Birx, who was one of his medical advisors on how to deal with this whole pandemic. She, at one point, she starts looking at the floor.
Yeah.
She is staring at the floor, not and he's looking directly at her.
Yep.
We can inject bleach. We can do this. You're gonna look into this. And she's not nodding. She's not acknowledging. She's looking at the floor like, please get me out of
here. He's talking to the doctor behind me, right? You're sitting against the wall right now.
Yeah.
There's nobody behind you. And I said to you earlier, I feel bad for these individuals. You know, that's got to be a great honor to work for a president or a world leader on something, especially something that has to do with helping to keep the world healthy. You go to school, you go to good schools, you do hard work, you give your life. And then just to be sitting in the White House press room with the quote unquote leader of the free world looking and going, we can do that with light, right? And just
cleans it out in a minute.
Cleans it out, to put it in the lungs because it's the lungs. And it's, you know, like it's, I was upset hearing it. It made me angry because he was the guy that we picked. I didn't vote for him, but we picked him. And there are still people who call us and text us and listen to us who say, that's my guy in 2024. And I don't get it.
Well, we have very short memories. I had forgotten that happened 4 years ago today, and I saw it happen live.
Yeah.
And I remember with great clarity after that came out, I had to start contacting veterinarians. I was working for a different radio station. I was reporting the news. Yeah. I had to start contacting poison control centers. I did more interviews trying to make sure that people did not follow those instructions so they wouldn't die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I think it's important every once in a while we take a little trip back 4 years ago today. And the message still stands, my friends. Don't inject bleach.
I just think it's really funny that it's funny, but it's not funny. But it's funny that, like, I had to call poison control. I had to call medical doctors. I had to call Farm and Fleet. Like, you had to call all three of those places on the same thing.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I did, because we started hearing from poison control centers saying, don't drink bleach.
Yeah.
Seems like a basic, but again, I was there to help. I was genuinely trying to help.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move along quickly. And we've been talking up our civic media news department.
Absolutely.
Because I think they deserve it.
Yes, indeed.
They do a really, really good job. If you ever want news that is specifically curated to your community, because we're all over the state. So if you go to, for example, here at WAUK, go to WAUK Radio. At the very top, there's going to be a little button that you can click on for your local news daily download. And that is going to give you all the news that is very specific to where you are living. And they posted this article yesterday, Mike Moen from the Wisconsin News Connection. You can find this at civicmedia.us/news. And we have certainly talked about this before, Greg Bach.
Mm-hmm.
But the increasing number of threats, elections officials, poll workers.
Judges.
Librarians. And according to this story, women are 3 to 4 times as likely as men to experience abuse because of their gender. And they're talking specifically about female candidates who are running for office. Ellen Velarde, CEO and founder of the group Vote Run Lead, says this creates more unfairness. We see women candidates and incumbents right now having to pay for security, having to put it in their budgets, in their campaign funds, in their line items, for their campaigns to get a security detail.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to do this, my friends. No. It shouldn't be like this.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But, and when I say, but this is the world we live in, I don't mean to say that as a slough it off the shoulder. That's just saying it is what it is. No, we've taken it to this extreme and we think it's not normal, but It's how you do business now. You don't like somebody, you pick at their house, you follow their fit, you make threats against them in public.
Instead of sitting down and talking about policy disagreements, it's just, and I think too, the other thing that keeps jumping around in the back of my mind is we all must know one of these people who's doing this.
At the very least, someone who thinks, so what?
What? Right. why is this such a big deal?
Yeah, it's free speech or big deal. Or if you can't handle it, don't run for office. No, this was never part of the game.
Right.
Like, especially when, like, you're running for president, senator, Congress. I get that. When you're running for alderman, county board supervisor, school board.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. This should not be part of the game. You shouldn't be afraid for your children when you're running for a local election.
This has to stop.
Yeah.
She said, because of the worsening climate, the threats are extending to almost all other candidates, including conservative white men. And we've talked about Mike Gallagher.
Yeah.
And something that he kind of implied that, yep, he signed up for the threats and the intimidation. His family didn't.
I think, you know, I get that, but I will say you have to be incredibly naive to think that it's not going to go to your family when you're at that high of a level. People are going to know who your spouse is. They're going to know your children. They're going to know where they go to school. A lot of that stuff is, I don't want to say it's public information, but I think it was naive of him to think that it would only be directed towards him. I mean, national candidates and elected figures, their families have been the target for hundreds of years, not just recently.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean,
but I'm thinking more of like when you're running for office and it's not innocuous, but you're not going to be on CNN as a pundit. You're going to be going to your job. Then I got a PTA meeting after this because I'm on the school board. And we got to do this thing, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be part of the deal. And the fact that we do know people who are like, well, this is part of the election game. Wrong. That's wrong and gross.
It is all the way around.
Yeah.
Both sides, any sides. No one should be doing this.
Correct.
No one should be doing this.
Yeah.
All right. When we return.
Yes.
We're going to lighten it up. Good news for Waukesha. We want to know, what is your favorite thing about Waukesha?
I have thoughts.
I do too. We'll take your thoughts as well. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What's your favorite thing about Waukesha? Share it with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you for joining us. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Good news for Waukesha. The village of Waukesha, in a story from yesterday's journal, Sentinel, landing among the best towns to retire in the country. That is according to GoBankingRates.com. So we're curious, what is your favorite thing about Waukesha if you live here?
Well,
or you work here?
According to Andrew in Maine, who left a comment on the live stream, we're starting it off with a fun pun. I heard that Waukesha is a good place to take a long walk.
Hello.
Get it? Hey-o! You see, it says the name is Waukesha.
And I understand. And actually, Andrew is right. Waukesha is a great place to take a long walk.
Correct. It's a good walking city.
I'm trying to do this like once a week,
mm-hmm,
and go walk along the river
because, yeah,
it's just blocks away from our studio here. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. It's, yeah, so bucolic.
Yeah.
I was watching the ducks,
yeah,
do duck things.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The downtown is gorgeous, and it's only gotten better. So for those who are new to the show, I was born and raised in Waukesha. I was born, right, in downtown Waukesha. I lived on the south side of Waukesha until I was nearly 20 years old. So I spent the first half less of my life here. And I went to school here. And so I have, and what's funny is that when I left Waukesha, you know, you leave your hometown and you go do other things. I've lived elsewhere in southeastern Wisconsin. And since coming back to do this show, And working for Civic Media, I've got a new appreciation for my hometown.
Right.
I've got a pride in my hometown. Now, there are things that I can talk about with regard to opinions on elections and voting and things like that. But it's still a place where when I drive through, I don't go, oh, I got to get out of here.
No, I gotta never.
Leave. I got to leave. I want to get out of here. I still love coming here. People are like, oh, you got to come to Waukesha. I'm like, yeah, but I can drive there. I can drive here with my eyes closed. I know the area. I remember when downtown, the true downtown Waukesha, was nothing but one ways. And I just listened to people complain for decades. Like, I just drive around Waukesha.
There's no way to get out of the city.
That's why we trap you. I remember the gazebo. I remember all the things. So there's like, to pick one thing, I would probably just say, I was telling you, and it's not specifically Waukesha City, but it's part of it. If you drive Sunset Drive and drive westbound towards Wales, for about 30 minutes, mm-hmm. you're going to see some beautiful landscape. You're going to see it's a nice, relaxing drive. And it's just part of the Waukesha milieu, if you ask me.
Well, and I agree with you about the landscape. And I love, too, how once you get out of downtown
yeah.
and if you go west,
yes,
it gets really super hilly.
Oh, good Lord.
All of us, woof.
And not like, oh, this is like a 45 degree. There's a hill that's probably about a solid 80 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That thing's got to be a killer on a bicycle.
There was another one by the house I grew up in, another huge hill. Like, it's a very hilly area. And, yeah, it's a great place for biking, walking, driving. It really is. I mean, it makes sense why this is a good place to
retire
to. And it's growing, too. It's modernizing
yes.
and catching up with the times.
Share your favorite thing about Waukesha with this article stating that Waukesha is among the best small towns to retire in the country. 855-752-4842. You can text directly if you're listening on the app. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Calvin, any favorite things about Waukesha that come to mind for you?
Yeah, I guess my biggest memory of Waukesha is I got my driver's license right around when the Pokemon Go phenomena happened.
Okay.
So me and my friends would drive out here and walk along the Riverwalk to catch Pokemon.
Were you successful?
Yeah, it was a really good spot. And it was crazy because it was such a weird moment because there was like yes. so many other people our age, younger, older, just all what? Walking up and down the Riverwalk playing on their phones.
It was a craze like nothing else. It was a craze. Right?
I mean, there, when I used to work at Lakefront Brewery, there was a guy who came in. He was like probably in his 70s or 80s. He still played it.
Really?
And it was a way of him getting outside and sure. experience and going to different locations. And you'd have a beer or have some lunch and talk to people. Yeah, I remember wanting to try it, but I'm like, yeah, I feel like this is not, like, I feel like an interloper.
The other thing I want to point out is downtown Waukesha has great little restaurants
yes.
and coffee shops. Mm-hmm. We love the Steaming Cup. We love Mountaintop Coffee.
Yes.
People's Park has great. Their pot stickers are really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
I just picked up a pizza from Sal's Pizza.
That's good stuff,
That's
too.
That's also very good.
Sal's Pizza is delicious.
Let's not forget the Panzerotti, which is right down the road
Jimmy's
from us.
Jimmy's Grotto.
Ah. Yeah, it's fantastic. And also some great little shoppies and stuff. Right on Main Street in downtown. I've bought a number of birthday presents for girlfriends.
Yeah.
At some of the galleries and stuff. So we're just kind of singing the praises of Waukesha.
Yeah. We got some texts came in, two from Dave in New Berlin. He said, Sunset Drive west of town is beautiful. It really, really is.
Yeah.
I would say any time of year, because you drive in wintertime, you're going to see beautiful snow. You drive.
Fall must be wonderful.
Yes. Fall is gorgeous. And then in summertime, you just see lush green for miles and miles. And then he also adds, the burritos are darn good, too.
Whose burritos, Dave?
Yeah.
You got to specify the burrito.
Are we talking like a...
Are we talking to People's Park?
Are we talking Taco John's?
Is it Sal's Pizza? Or is it the Jimmy's Grotto?
We need to know. We unearthed the facts here on Matt and Aaron Air.
We're just food people, and we like to get good recommendations about food. Any other favorite things you want to share with us, you can text them in over the course of the show again at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. Todd Alba will be with us when we come back from the news. You, of course, can catch the one and only Todd Father from noon to 2 p.m.
Todd.
All across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your hands up and out so resigned, you will fall down while you are around here playing. While all of the captain's cards are kings still. He and the queen are lost at sea. I hope it isn't you and me. Yeah, and I'll be back round again. Yes, I'll walk a hill in time with you, old friend. That we had danced in so long ago. And in a place to write the wiring, I'll come back again. Torching time and talking rhymes, I'll come back again with this resign.
How can I love somebody else if I can't love myself enough?
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, wherever you are listening. If you're listening on the app, if you are listening on the air, if you're watching on the live stream, you can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder, we do have basketball tonight. Pacers at the Bucks, 7 p.m. playoff basketball. You can catch the game. You do have to listen on the air for the game. Locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3. If you would like to catch the NBA playoff action tonight, the Bucks hosting the Pacers with tip off at 7 p.m. Joining us, we do a little rotating civic media host exchange every week, and Todd got the spin this week. Good morning, Todd Alba. How are you?
If you chose 00 red, I'm your host this week on the old roulette wheel. Yeah,
delighted to have you here. Thank you so very much for joining us, Todd.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
I was listening to your show yesterday afternoon, and I know you were talking about it's Earth Week. Yesterday was Earth Day, but Earth Week is going on all week. And you had talked about how you are trying to make little changes in your own life to you know, make a difference, which I think is fantastic.
Sure, exactly.
So I want to know, what's your favorite color?
My favorite color, probably red. I'm a big Badger fan.
Big Badger fan.
Red.
And yeah. Ounce-wise, if you were to get, say, a red Yeti tumbler, how many ounces would that tumbler have to be for an ideal Todd Alba?
Well, my coffee here, I'm holding up my Beta Badger coffee tumbler, and it's 16 ounces. I mean, just maybe a little over. I'm not one for like a 32-ounce tumbler. You don't want that.
That would be overkill.
And be overkill, yeah. So, I mean, 16 ounce seems to me the perfect size for a beverage.
All right, I'm going to write this down. And Calvin also, Calvin lives on squirt, pretty much.
Context? Oh, yeah. The soda, everyone.
The soda. Calvin lives on squirt. So, Calvin, if I were to buy you a Yeti tumbler and you bought a big bottle of squirt instead of the little individual bottles, would you use it?
Oh,
tough call.
In reality, I should
would be more likely to just use cans.
See, I'm with Kelvin on this because now I enjoy Squirt, but of course I enjoy a little Disaronno, a little Disaronno and Squirt. You ever tried
Squirt
that, Kelvin?
So Squirt Plus.
Yeah.
That sounds good though.
Oh my gosh. I mean, a little ice, you fill your glass up with ice, a nice cocktail glass, a couple of shots of Disaronno, a little amaretto there, and then Squirt, and you got yourself a party in a cup. And but when you mix, see, the thing is with soda, if you have those great big bottles, then the carbonation goes out before you can use it. So I think smaller is better with carbonated beverages.
Smaller is better, and cans over plastic.
Yeah, as long as you're going to do it all in one sitting, because you can't, I mean, you know, you can't screw a can.
But that's why you have your handy Yeti tumbler, which you can pour the fizzy
stuff
into.
Well, no, that's exactly right. No, yeah, I mean, if you're going to make a beverage, a 60-ounce beverage, in a tumbler, then you're set.
Kelvin, when did we pick up a Yeti promo here? When did we get endorsed by Yeti?
Well, I only say that because I have one and I love this thing.
I also feel like you were...
I've been using it for years.
We got one as gifts when we bought our house from our real estate agent. I felt fancy. And then, of course, the next year, they're like, Stanley or nothing. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, it's like Tumblr wars now.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Well, I can tell you, in another life, not so long ago, I was an assistant manager at L.L. Bean. They're not in Brookfield, but one in Madison. And we sold different various tumblers and coolers, so I had to be knowledgeable about these things. And I can tell you, it's not just marketing. If you unbiased people like Consumer Reports and others will tell you that a Yeti cooler, despite the enormous price, it does keep things cooler longer and and I think the tumbler is the same deal.
I also would like to point out that the first 5 minutes of this part of the show, I seriously thought, is Jane going to buy Todd and Calvin a Yeti tumbler?
I'll buy you one. Do you need one? You already have one.
I'm not asking. All right. I wasn't getting upset.
I'm just trying to leave you out.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here.
I'm trying to do my part to help the
environment.
That's
a wonderful thing. I'll take four, though.
And I applaud that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jane.
Your Red Yeti 16-ounce tumbler, Todd, will be ordered tonight.
We'll call it the Ready.
You're amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to move on from Yeti talk. Vice President Kamala Harris stopped in Wisconsin yesterday. And before we get to what she was talking about and why she was here, Eric Hovde keeps showing up in my feeds. And yesterday, he posted a Venn diagram. And said, essentially, I know how much the vice president likes Venn diagrams. So we're going to put together a Venn diagram of all the things that Vice President Kamala Harris and Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin have in common. And so there are four bad attributes and then the four things they have in common. Now, what stood out to me very predominantly was one of Kamala Harris's bad attributes, according to California guy Eric Hovde, is she has a loud laugh.
Oh my God.
Now, as I am a loud lady laugher, and I've always been a loud lady laugher, this makes me laugh.
Loudly.
Exactly. Loudly.
Loudly.
Well, I, too, have a rather annoying laugh in the Capitol when I worked there. One of my colleagues said, stop that god-awful caterwauling. So when I laughed, it was a
caterwauling. Was that Pat Wrightlow who said that?
No, it wasn't Pat.
Because only Pat speaks in those terms.
It was said in jest, but no, I get it. I mean, if that's really what you're, I don't know about Venn diagrams, but if you elect Eric Hovde, the likely is you won't be able to buy a diaphragm. So, I mean, that's what you're looking at. This is just small. It's typical Eric Hovde. He's got nothing. You understand? He's jumping in lakes. He's throwing axes, and he's attacking senior citizens and people in nursing homes, saying that they shouldn't be able to vote. Then he tries to walk it back, and then lo and behold, ring-a-ling-ling, New York Times says, "Wait a minute, we did a little investigation here, and a nursing home owned by Eric Hovde's bank is part of a lawsuit." Because this poor person in the nursing home died of alleged abuse, and Eric Hovde owned it. So it's just trying to get people to stop looking at the real issues here. And he is just a small person. I think that the vice president has a great laugh.
Well, and I guess though what stands out to me, Todd, because they must research these things. They do some study groups before they start throwing this stuff out there. That must resonate with some people. And it's 2024. Are women only supposed to be shy, retiring, delicate laughers?
I think you're really? Giving the Hovde people. I think you're giving the Hovde people way too much credit. I think this real serious. I think this was a 20-something or 30-something year old goose-stepping Trump staffer that goes, you know, let's like just make fun of her laugh. Like that'll make people like laugh because we'll just make fun of her laugh. I think it's like that. Seriously, I really? Think it's that uncomplicated. Yeah, I think there's no focus group on that.
God, I imagine like I can't imagine Eric Hovde's campaign staff at this moment is. Huge,
right?
But the idea of a guy like walking and being like, "Hi, I'm Braden. I'm your designee from the Trump campaign. I'm here to make sure it runs our way." And like, that's just the idea of someone shows up from the Trump campaign to run. He's your attaché.
Oh, there we go.
Or as they call it, attaché.
If there are any other loud lady laughers out there and you want to join, I think we should start a club. We can call it like the triple L's, or I was kicking around LX3, right?
Oh, I like that. Right? Kind of I like that a lot.
Kind of a tough. Ooh,
sounds yeah. robotic, right? like futuristic.
So if you want to join the LX3, which stands for Loud Lady Laughers, just send it in your form to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
And men, don't nominate anybody. It won't go over well for you.
Kamala Harris did stop yesterday in La Crosse, and she was talking specifically about reproductive rights and the continued efforts by some to limit women's reproductive choices. Calvin, we have a clip from Vice President Kamala Harris yesterday speaking in La Crosse.
Because the former president was very clear with his intention, he would fill and appoint 3 members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe. And when they then got on that court, they did exactly what he intended. And remember, let's not forget that interview where he said women should be punished. Let's not overlook that he has said he is proud of what he did. Proud? That healthcare providers could go to jail? No exception? Proud that our daughter, Doug and my daughter, will have fewer rights than her grandmother?
Vice President Kamala Harris speaking yesterday in La Crosse. According to the latest poll that came out from Marquette University Law School, 24% of Democratic voters consider abortion their most important issue. For independent and Republican voters, only 5% of those groups see abortion as an important issue. A majority of registered voters in Wisconsin, 54%, also favor a national ban on abortion after 15 weeks, with exceptions for rape, incest, and the life and health of the mother. I think this is still going to be a very important issue heading into the November election. And I think it's important, again, to remember things that have been said in the past, because I can remember the former president saying that, yes, women should be punished. There should be a punishment. And of course, now he's waffling back and forth because this is turning out to be not a winning issue for the Republicans. And initially it was, oh, yes, I'll sign a ban. Now all of a sudden it's, oh, wait, they're going too far in Florida with a 6-week ban.
States' rights.
Yeah. State. It was supposed to go back to the states. It's all about states' rights. That was the issue. And then, oh, wait, let's do a federal ban. He will sign it. He won't sign it. In my personal opinion, if he gets reelected, he will sign a national ban. He will.
Yes. And yeah, all these candidates too, Hovde and Carrie Lake, who were against abortion full stop,
right,
are now reversing their opinions a little bit, just to seem a little bit more palatable.
Right.
But I think if they both win, make no mistake, the moment they take their hand off that Bible, it's going to be a national abortion ban.
Because let's not forget also, Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, and Brett Kavanaugh during their hearings all sat there and lied. And said that Roe was established precedent, so they weren't going to touch it. And what did they do? They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are two major points from the vice president's visit. Number one, she came to some place that was not, with all due respect, Waukesha, Milwaukee, or Madison. She went out into an out market, as we say in politics, someplace like La Crosse, western Wisconsin, where I think that this race in large part is going to be won or lost in Wisconsin, and thus the entire election. She showed up, and I think that's really important. Number two, on women's reproductive rights, she spoke to a lot of people, I think, that, you know, our friend Trevi Olson calls Dobbs dads.
Right.
Those are men who maybe typically have voted in the past and who might be hunters. And like Trigvy and other people and myself, quite frankly, you don't want the government telling folks how many shotguns you can have to go shoot pheasant or turkey. But likewise, they don't want a theocracy telling their daughters what they can and can't do with their bodies. So I think that's what voters in western Wisconsin, all over Wisconsin, have to ask themselves. Just like you don't want government interference talking about your hunting weapons, you don't want government interference when it comes to your daughter's reproductive rights. And you can't say you're against government interference on shotguns and then before government interference, you know, with your daughter's health care and reproductive rights. So I think that's the context you have to look at it in. And I think that the vice president showed up is exactly the right thing to do.
We are going to keep this conversation going. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842, or join us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Stay close. Todd Alba is here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Gal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, joined by Todd Alba. You can catch Todd's show right after the noon news from noon to 2 p.m. all across the Civic Media Radio Network. There is a trial going on as we are chatting this morning, and I don't want to spend a long amount of time on this, Todd, but I do think it's important. This trial involving Donald Trump keeps getting referred to as a hush money trial, and that's not really what it is. And we have a clip from Jen Psaki from MSNBC talking to a former National Enquirer high-up executive named Lachlan Cartwright, talking about essentially what happened, what was going on at the National Enquirer when Trump was running for president.
Ultimately, this organization, this media organization, you've been around politics long enough to know that it's not unusual for a media organization to do favors for a political candidate or a campaign. But this is the first time in American democracy, certainly that I'm aware of, that a media organization twists itself into a criminal enterprise to help get a candidate elected. And that is what went on here. And that is fundamentally what this case is about.
It's a terrific episode. It's about 7.5 minutes long. Obviously, that's too long to run in its entirety. But if you go to YouTube and look for Inside with Jen Psaki, and again, this is Lachlan Cartwright, it's really unbelievable how he explained to her this. They would work backwards with stories. Here is the outcome that they want. They want Hillary Clinton to look like she's dying. So here's the story we're going to do to push that. We're going to find the worst possible photo of her. We'll get some sketchy medical guy checking in on her, diagnosing her. And it was effective. And it worked. So this isn't about hush money. This is about Donald Trump trying to bury information that could affect his campaign if this had come out before voters went to the polls.
First of all, once you have a British accent describing anything, it's quite effective, you understand? So, I mean, first of all, that's the first fantastic part.
Our apologies to our British and English listeners. Thank you very much.
I'll talk to my husband.
Please direct all angry emails to Calvin.
Oh, no, just send him to me. I'm used to it. There's no problem with that. But no, that was fantastic. He's a British guy. But, you know, you're absolutely right, Jane. This is about election interference. The fact that they did this to try to cover up this story so that it would not come out before the 2016 election, essentially. And now it's catching up with them. And again, I think the second part of that is the fact they tried to cover it up. Right. If Trump had just written Stormy Daniels a check and said, shut up about this, we might say it's unethical, but it wouldn't have been illegal.
Right.
And I think to the guest point on Psaki's show, this does happen more often than people realize. And it's not just politics, right? It's sports, you know, well-known athletes. It's Hollywood celebrities that there's something out there that their publicist or them don't want known. So they have an unscrupulous place like the National Enquirer say, look, we're going to give you X amount of dollars to give us this story to run. We want the exclusive. And you're going to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, which says if you tell anybody else about this or talk about it, then you have to pay us back the money.
Right.
And then said news organization never runs the story. So it's killed. And this happens in politics and sports and celebrities. It's just, you know, and I'm not saying it happens with ABC News or CBS News, but it happens with things like the National Enquirer.
I think what's also so interesting to me about this is all of the political gymnastics that some of the that's going on with some of the people from Fox Entertainment, essentially. Fox News Ainsley Earhart on Monday expressed concern. Listen to this logic, my friends. This case involving Trump could set a negative precedent for future presidential candidates who have paid hush money to cover up affairs. Right? This could act as a damper for other guys who've been cheating on their wives and paid them off with hush money. This might keep them from running for office. What a tragedy.
Man, I was cheating on my wife and I wanted to run for Senate. Thanks a lot, Trump.
I mean, are you?
It happens so often, you understand.
But
also,
how mentally, morally flexible do you have to be to come up with an argument like that?
Also, how sexist is that? There are plenty of women out there who are cheating on their husbands who want to run for office. Let's live in an equality.
Let's be fair.
Yeah, this is about inclusion and equity,
Let's
folks.
Let's be fair. All right. In about the 3 minutes we have left, Jesse Waters, also from the Fox Channel, opining yesterday on the court case going on right now in Manhattan. Take a listen to this.
But the guy needs exercise. He's usually golfing. And so you're going to put a man who's almost 80 sitting in a room like this on his butt for all that time. It's not healthy. You know how big of a health nut I am. He needs sunlight and he needs activity. He needs to be walking around. He needs action. It's really cruel and unusual punishment to make a man do that.
He's almost 80 years old and he needs to photosynthesize, you guys. Get him outside. Well, he needs sunlight.
According to reports in the courtroom, and again, we don't have these completely confirmed, but maybe he just needs to go for a walk to relieve his flatulence because, you know, several reports are, this is, I'm not making this up.
I saw
that Trump is going to sleep, and as he's dozing off, he is letting them slip. And according to people in the room, the odor is absolutely obnoxious. So maybe he does need to go for a walk. I don't know.
I don't understand why you guys are disrespecting Jesse Waters. He is a nut after, he's a sports nut, health nut, after all.
Right, that's true.
We should start calling it the Fox Wrestling Network.
It's just trying to get people to avoid, to somehow normalize Trump's behavior. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, there's all kinds of people that cheat on their wives and want to run for office. We have to defend them. There's all kinds of people that want to go play golf and we're discriminating. This is just normalization by, as you said, the Trump Entertainment Network. And it's distracting from the fact that if you or I had been accused of doing what Trump has been accused of doing, we would find ourselves right where we're at and probably already behind bars.
Absolutely.
For being in contempt of court.
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
And violating the gag order and for so many,
exactly,
many other things. All right.
Todd, I heard that Trump enjoys a good gag order, if you know what I mean. But anyway.
Todd.
Getting naughty right at the end here.
It's Tuesday.
Todd Alva has been our guest. You can catch him today from noon to 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so very much, my friend. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
If I'm allowed, yes, thank you.
Always. I have to give you your Yeti.
Loud laugh.
I have to give you your Yeti. All right. Stay close. News is next. When we return, we're talking about organ donations. It's going to be a wonderful conversation. I hope you can stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.